Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? He is alive. And that is the best news there ever was or ever will be. Our Lord Jesus is alive. The children may be dismissed to children's church at this time. And if you will, take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 16. Thank you, choir, for that wonderful cantata and for moving us to worship through it. Mark chapter 16, we're going to read just the first eight verses this morning, and I want to give you a sermon entitled, Who Will Roll the Stone Away? Who Will Roll the Stone Away? It says, when the Sabbath was passed, that was Saturday, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking back, they saw that the stone, looking up rather, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. You would be too. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And we later find out, of course, they go to the disciples and tell them, and the disciples come running to the tomb and also see the empty tomb. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you and praise you once again. Lord, thank you for sending your Son, our Savior. Jesus, thank you for going to the cross, for bearing our sin, for seeing it through, for bearing our weight of guilt, our sorrow, our suffering, for descending to the grave. And Lord Jesus, thank you that you are risen, that the gates of hell could not hold you, that you are risen victoriously. Lord, I pray this morning that by your Holy Spirit, you would anoint your word, that you would draw us close into your presence, and that we would see and savor and rejoice in what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody here this morning that does not know you, that has not accepted you as Savior, and not surrendered their life to you, that they would do so this morning. I pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Who will roll the stone away? The one thought on the women's mind that morning, that Sunday morning years ago, was a pressing thought. You see, the women were coming, and they had a problem. And their problem was really all of our problem. Their problem was represented by this great big stone. As we read in the scripture, and you know what happened just days before, Jesus was delivered up, was crucified, hung between two thieves on a cross. They pierced his hands. They pierced his feet with nails. They had scourged him. They had beaten him with their hands. They had mocked him. They had spat upon him. They placed upon him a mocking symbol of royalty, a crown of thorns, plunged it down upon his head, forced him to go up Calvary's mountain, that hill called Golgotha, laid him out there, and crucified him. They rose him up, and as they passed by, mocking him, the women were there. The Bible records that the women were there at the foot of the cross, and they saw it happen. They saw him die. They saw that moment when he breathed his last and said, "It is finished." And bowed his head and was dead. They saw the soldier come by, checking to see if everybody had died and breaking the legs of the two thieves so they would die quickly. But they came to Jesus and he had been beaten and battered so severely that he had already died upon the cross. And so just to make sure, they saw that soldier take his spear and plunge it into Jesus' side. And they saw the blood and the water come pouring out. And they saw as he was taken down, and they were there as he was wrapped up and bound up and placed into a tomb, Joseph's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. And they saw Joseph place him there, and they observed it, the Bible says. They observed where he laid. But it was the Sabbath, and they couldn't do everything that they wanted to. They loved this man. They had considered him the Messiah. They had thought he would be the one to come and to redeem them and to buy them out of bondage. And yet here he was dead. They had a problem. And their problem relates to our problem as well. Because you see, as we read in Mark chapter 16, verse 2 says, "Very early on the first day of the week, when they had risen, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?'" As they're coming to the tomb, their expectation is a dead body. Their expectation was a dead body because they were bringing spices to anoint the burial, the body of Jesus. He was already buried, but they hadn't had time to prepare the body the way they wanted, and they wanted to honor him. And so they had gone out and they bought spices, and they were bringing it to pour them upon the body of Jesus as an offering. They were expecting to find a dead body. Their problem was a problem of unbelief. You see, Jesus three times before had told them and his disciples what was going to happen. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, he began to teach them, the Bible says, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And then after that, 3 days later, he would rise again. In Mark 9, verses 31 and 32, again, he told them that the Son of Man was going to be delivered into the hands of men. They would kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he would rise again. But then in Mark 10, he gave them the clearest possible explanation of what would happen. He told them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem." Mark 10, verse 33. "The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes. They will condemn him to death. They will deliver him to the Gentiles, the Romans." He told them exactly how he was going to die. "They're going to spit upon me," he said. "They're going to mock me. They're going to flog me." And the disciples knew what that meant. "And they're going to kill me." But he gave a promise 3 days later. "I'll rise again." The women's problem, they considered him the Messiah. And yet here in this moment, in their deepest sorrow, they had not yet realized what had happened. They weren't the only ones at the tomb, by the way. Over in Matthew, we find out there were some others there. They were there not to anoint the body of Jesus. They were there to keep the body of Jesus in that tomb. You see, the only people, it seems, that day that really knew what was going on were the chief priests. The day before, they came to the Pilate who had ordered him to be executed, and they said, "Hey, that deceiver, Jesus," they called him a deceiver, "he said while he was still alive that he was going to rise again in 3 days. Give us a guard. Give us some soldiers that we could place around the tomb and seal it so that his body will be there. That his body won't be taken out." And around the tomb that morning, Easter morning, there were other people who had a problem, a very big problem. They were there to keep Jesus in the grave. Can you imagine? They're there to keep the Lord of life locked up in a tomb. Oh, they had a big problem because it's impossible. The women come with a problem of sorrow. They love him and they're confused and they don't know what all this means. The soldiers are there with a problem of pure unbelief and rebellion against Christ. Perhaps you're here this morning and there is a weight in your heart. Perhaps there is like this stone that's heavy weighing down your heart, and you have this great sorrow in your life, and you don't know what is the reason for it, what's the cause of it, why, Lord, is this happening? You don't even know if you can believe. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you have the greatest weight of all, the weight of sin, and the guilt of sin weighing down your heart. And your question is, how can this be taken from me? How can this be removed? Just like those women, they come to the tomb with a problem. And the problem is this stone, this cold, dead stone. And they're expecting to see it there, and they're saying, who can roll it away for us? It's too big for us to handle. Your sin is too big for you to handle. The guilt and weight of your sin is too big for you to remove. You have a problem. But that's not where the story ends. That's not where it all ended. You see not only the problem of sorrow and sin, but you also see the power of the Savior. Look with me again in Mark chapter 16. It says, when they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back, what rolled that stone away that morning? The power of God rolled the stone away. The mighty power of God. He had sent his angel, and by the mighty authority of God, as Matthew records, that stone was rolled away. The tomb was open, and when they looked inside, they did not see the body they expected. It was gone. It was not there. What we see is the power of God to remove the weight of sin and sorrow. Here, the resurrected Lord has rolled back our sin. And the women there at the tomb are the first to recognize it, first to see it. And they're still in amazement and confusion, wondering what in the world's going on. They don't see the body they expected, but they're encountering the power of the risen Lord right there in front of them. There is only one thing that can remove your sin. There is only one thing that can answer the sorrow and sadness of your heart. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, powerfully resurrected from the dead. Only he can remove your sin. The Bible says that he was delivered up and killed because of our sin in Romans chapter 4. And he was raised again to life to justify us. That's a big word, but it basically means this, to make us right in the sight of God. If you are here this morning and you have this weight in your heart wondering, how can I know it's Easter. I'm here to worship. I'm here because that, you know, my family invited me. I'm here because somebody said I should come. But you have this great burdening question in your heart. You are not powerful enough to get rid of your sin, but Jesus is. He rolled the stone away of your sin. He took it, and your sin, the Bible says, was nailed to the cross. When he was. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, he said. He's been transformed. He's been given power to live because Christ rose from the dead. Here's what the resurrection means to you this morning. It means that the power of God has been made abundantly available to justify you, to remove your sin is as far as the east is from the west, and to make you right in the sight of God. That's what the resurrection means, that he's accomplished it. When he died on the cross and his blood was spilt, he paid the price to remove your sin. But had he stayed in that tomb, we would have nothing to celebrate this morning. Had the women got there to that tomb, the stone still been there, and they somehow get somebody with a legion of men to roll that stone back, and they go in to try to anoint the body, and the body's still there, there would be nothing to celebrate. You and I would still have the weight of our sins upon us. But because that stone was rolled away, because the Lord Jesus Christ had risen up from the dead, because he was not there that morning, what that means is that you have justification, right standing with God, available to you by faith, by receiving him in faith. There's the power of God on full display that morning. The soldiers, when it happened, the soldier says they were falling down like dead men when the stone was rolled back. The power of God was such that these mighty men could do nothing to stop the Son of God from coming forth in glorious power and might. And so the angel said to the women, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Easter means the problem of sin has been removed and the power of God has been displayed to save us through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not all of the story. There's one more part. There's the promise of the Savior's presence. Look with me in verse 7. He says, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee." He's going before you to Galilee. He was going to meet them in Galilee. The word was is that Jesus has gone before you. There's the promise that he will, since he went before you, he will meet you. And he will come back. The testimony of Scripture is simply this. That living, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried your sin far away. The Bible says he removed it as far as the east is from the west. Rising, he justified us freely forever. And one day he's coming. And what a day that's going to be. Amen? There is the promise in the resurrection of his presence. There is the promise of life eternal. Some of you are here this morning, and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, but you're facing health problems, you're facing problems in your family, you're facing all sorts of problems, and you're weighed down by sorrow. And you say, "Lord, what do I do with this stone that's in my heart?" Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a promise. It's an eternal promise. It's a promise that no matter what happens to you in this life, he will come again. And just as he was risen up by the power of God, so you too, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, will rise. It's the promise of resurrected life. He says, "I'm going before you." He's already gone before us. He's gone before us to the cross to bear our sin. He's gone before us to the grave to pay the penalty for our sin. He's gone before us in resurrection to give us the promise that one day we too will rise with him. Some of you are here this morning wondering, "Lord, I'm so sorrowful and it's Easter. I should be excited." Let him roll your stone away. Look to the resurrected Lord and realize that since he died, went to the grave, rose again, you too will have life. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." You one day will see the promise of being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your body, just as he in his body was risen from the dead. Would you stand with me this morning? There's the problem in Mark 16. the problem of unbelief, the problem of sorrow and sin weighing down a people. But there is the power of God that removes it. And for those who put their faith and trust in His almighty power, His power to raise up Christ from the dead, and you say, just as Christ went to the cross and died for me, and that God by His power raised Him from the dead, so too, I believe in what He's done, and I accept that He died for me, and I trust that one day He's coming to raise me up as well. If you believe that, the promise of Easter, the promise of resurrection, is already taking place in your heart. Because if you believe that, what that means is that the Holy Spirit has born you anew. If you've accepted Christ as Savior, you've been born anew. You've been made from what was once dead. You've now been made alive. And spiritually, there's a resurrection that has already taken place in your heart that will one day ultimately be completely fulfilled when this body, though it's perishing, is going to raise again. That's the promise of Easter. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, there is no other time more appropriate as Becky begins to play to trust in the risen Lord to save you from your sin. The women that morning had a great problem. And maybe you do too. But no matter how big their problem, no matter how big their stone, the power of God was bigger. And it's bigger than your sin. To remove it and to give you life anew. And the promise of Christ is that He will come. He will visit you. And He will come back for you. Have you accepted Christ's offer of salvation? Have you experienced the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, I invite you this morning to know Him in truth, to accept Him as Savior and Lord. And Christian, you've already done that. You're here this morning. I invite you to roll your heavy burden upon the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, that you have taken my sin and my sorrow. I give it to you. Who will roll the stone away? The Lord Jesus Christ has rolled the stone away. Amen.